Okay, b'siyata d'shmaya, if you would tell somebody that we would do in one shir these rove of simin kuf tzadi and do most of dam hanimtza b'hashtana, they wouldn't believe you. And, well, we're supposedly going to do it, but what we're going to do is take a couple of highlights left from dinei ksamim, just a couple of important halach l'maisa points. Most of the Shulchan Aruch is really about different cases of tliya that are not very much relevant today. For example, cases of three women sleeping together in one bed, and then ultimately whether there's dam. But what we will do is we will do Sif Yud Aleph, which starts the halachos of tliya and get some perspective from there, and then make a few other ha'aros, and then b'siyata d'shmaya do a very important introduction and the basics, and even halach lemaisa, of course, with someone will have halach lemaisa as well, to dam hanimtza bahashtana, which is a sugya in Perek Ha'isha Shiyasa Tzrachecha. So in Shulchan Aruch, where we had left off with Shulchan Aruch Sif Yud Aleph, let's see the introduction for Tliya. Lo b'chol machem shimatzah sham kesem tmeya. Not in every place where the kesem found is a woman tmeya. Al b'machem she'efshe shabah sham min hamikar. Only in a case, kesem will only have to be machmir if there's a likelihood that it came from the makar. Ketzat nimtza ala kava, if you find it on her heel, tmeya, because the heel is quite parallel to osa makom. V'cheinim nimtza al kol orach shoko parsesel b'fnim, and on the parts of the leg that are towards the inside, v'hem komas ha'dvakim zevzeh, v'eshe tamal, v'tidavik regal b'regal, v'shok b'shok, v'cheinim nimtza al rosh godol ragleh, as well as the toe, v'kol shekein al ragleh, mamish, the Rama adds, v'cheinim nimtza al yodeha, and here we have an interesting halacha, and that is, so it makes sense that if she finds blood on an area that's likely to have come from the makar, in such a case you're going to have to be machmir. That would be a kesem, and then it would follow all the dinim of kesem al basara. The mechaber continues, and he says a new halacha. V'cheinim nimtzal yadeha. If she finds it on her hands, afil al kishrei etzbaose, even on her knuckles, sheyadayim askanios hem, because the hands are askanios. We have, of course, we're familiar with that from Hilchas Netilas Yadayim. That person doesn't keep track exactly where their hands went. V'shema nagabosa makom, so we have to be choshish that she touched bosa makom. Avolim nimtzal shokev al parsesel etzad chutz, so then in such a case you could be mekel. So over here, the Shach in Sivkaton Yud Ches comments, v'cheinim nimtzal yodeha, mashmal lehedi medivrei Avturim v'chaber dafilu b'stam chayshin shema nagu. That even in a case of stam, we have to be choshish. What's the Shach referring to? If you take a look in the Rishonim, there is a Rajba that disagrees. The Rajba holds, it's when a woman did a bedika, then in such a case, then the halacha is that we're going to have to be machmir. Even if she didn't notice, then we have to, if she did a bedika and she thought that there was no blood, and now she finds blood on her hands, then you're going to have to be machmir. But stam, in all cases, yadayim askanis, you have to be machmir. So Shach says that seems from the stimas hamichaber that the halacha is that we would have to be machmir. However, there are many people that pull out this Rajba, and what we're going to learn is a few different kulas. The most important kula over here is what's found in last week's booklet, where we had at the end of last week's booklet, you have the Shevet Halevi in Os Gimel, that points out that it could very well be that today the situation is entirely different. He says, in those days, let's think about what Yadayim Askanios means in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim. Yadayim Askanios means that our hands are likely to come in contact with Tumah V'Tahara. What type of Tumah V'Tahara? Tumah V'Tahara, like the case in Psachim, where you have a weasel that ran into a hole and you're going to stick your hand and touch a weasel? No, the Yadayim Askanios means that there are lots of things that are in front of people when they're going through their day. And it could very well be there was Tuma right in front of him and he touched it. But says the Shach, Shevet Halevi, says nowadays women wear underwear. And since they wear underwear, so then in such a case, unless we're talking about a case where we know that she did it like the case of the Rajba, then in such a case, he says, we could be mekel, dahainu, that even the Rajba was only machmir in the case that she did a bedika. and you mitzdarif that bizman hazeh, in such a case, women are, we would say, yodayim askanios, only in a case in which she wasn't wearing undergarment. But if she is, so then in such a case, he says, we could also be mitzdarif the Rajba. That is number one, exception number one to this din about finding dam on knuckles. Number two, if you take a look at the Pischei Tshuva and Sifkat and Chav Gimel, he quotes a Sidrei Tara. Because of a Sidrei Tara, the Dafkim Nastam Chashin Shem Nagab Yad, Mokman Evshali Pol Dam. Avlam Amra Bari Li Shalona Gati Bosom Mekamos, Shev Shalipol, in such a case, we could be Mekel. Some, I think, even formulate this, that this is again a Tzira for the Rajba, that the only time is if she says, Er Yadayim Sikanias. Now, you have a Shana Alf guy asks Sam, and he says, I know that I didn't touch Tumah Taharos, so I'm not going to wash before bread. So Sam's going to say, no, the halacha is Yadayim Askanios, that in such a case, the halacha is mechayiv you. But over here, in this Pischei Tshuva, we see that when it comes, this Yadayim Askanios is different. That if she says, Bari li, Shalom Nagati, so then in such a case, then we wouldn't say Yadayim Askanios. That's what the Sidrei Tara says. He also points out that it could very well be that you're going to need a shear to be mitzdarif. He says, even those who are machmer like the Rambam, who says even the smallest amount of blood on her body, you have to be machmer. Everybody, anyhow, we have a Rajba, that's Mekel. So again, he pulls out that Rajba, then in such a case, one could be Mekel. So there, even though the pure, this, by the way, is almost symbolic of many things that happen in the rest of Simen Kuf Tzadi, there are many instances that were lizmanam, that was the halacha, but the metzius changes today, and therefore the halacha is going to change. So this is an important maramakom. This Shevet HaLevi is not only important in regards to the knuckles, but this Shevet HaLevi becomes very, very important in general, that he's willing to say that once there are undergarments today, so then the halacha is going to change. Okay, let's continue on in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch continues, and he says, Vim Yodas, the rest of, I'm skipping a few words that are Muva Me'elav. Vim Yodas, Shen Izdakra, Vigbiya Ragla, Lamaila, Tmeyam, Bikal Makam, Shen Timsenu, Afil, Lamaila, Me'achagur. So the rule of thumb is that which is above her waist, there's no reason to say that that came from the Makar. But if she does somersaults, and the Beis Yosef has lots of details about those somersaults, Ayin Sham, so then in such a case, you would have to be machmir. And he says, the Mechaber continues, and he says, B'chol makushin sa'enu afilu malim echagur, b'im lefuneam b'im lecharea, afilu avra b'shuk shel tabachim, onis aska b'ksam. So this is the classic cases of Tliya, and that is that she passed through, in those days, the Rav Vosner points out, in those days, if you went through the shuk, there was mamish, blood splurting every once in a while around from the animals that they were selling, and therefore, or nisaska b'ksam. Those are two things that we could generally be tola on. Of course, I just want to add, I can't point to every place in Shulchan Aruch where we have this, but that is the sleuthing work that we've spoken about in the Maros Chabura, is that to ask a woman what she was osek with. So there are many, many instances we discussed in the Chaburas of where a woman was involved with something that was reddish, and that will find its way onto a bedika cloth very, very, very easily. I remember early on when I was getting a shiloh, there was something that was reddish, definitely on the bedika cloth it was reddish, but it was a strain. It wasn't sitting the way a normal stain sits in the bedika cloth, and sure enough, I played with it, and eventually what happened is it pulled out like a strand, like a long red strand, and the woman had been wearing a red sweater, and this was the strand that had become embedded in the bedika cloth. So that would be, obviously, by bedikas, they're not exactly like samim. You need a little bit more to be tola, but then in such a case, you could be tola. So that's, the nisasko b'ksamim would be many different things today. V'davki yishanim sal basar levad, alnin sal basar v'gam al-chaluka, imar v'bashuk shal tabachim nisasko b'ksam, tola bo ben shim samat me'achagor, oshik bi'o l'malo, ragla v'nim salamalo me'achagor. So if you have also on her garments, then you'll be able to be more mako. Let's continue on. So you have to be more machmir if it's on her body. But if she has a maka, that she could be tole on the maka, So then, she'efshar shiyavo adam menu tola bavitahora. So this is a very, very, very important tzliya. I'm not going to repeat it unless the chaver feels it's necessary. It's not recorded for posterity, but the siyata deshmaya that when we were up to this, I got a shayla, a makka shayla like this, and we discussed this. So the halacha is that a makka begufa, is if it's efshar shiyachol litol she'efshar shiyavo adam imenu tola bavitahora. So one sentence, our case was that there was a cut that a woman had on her stomach, and it's very likely that would be the explanation for what had happened on her leg. In such a case, I thought that in that case one could be makel. Okay, so that is the din in regards to maka begufa. There's an interesting pischei tshuva in sifkaton chaf hey. Let's take a look at that. Ayin beheretiv heitiv mashikas v'chenim nimsa al yodeha. So let's take a look first in the beheretiv. The beheretiv says v'chen im nimsa al yodeha im nis aseka biyodeha mamish piksam im tola. So he says the same would apply if she finds on her hands, just like you could be tola b'maka if you find on her body. So too, if she was in aseka biyodeha mamish, so then in such a case, one could be meiko. So the pischei tshuva is medayik actually a chumra. He says, "Umash medafka benimtzal yodeh, avo benimtzal shar gufa lo talinan, va'afagav shematzan nimtzal nami al yodeh." What happens if she found both on her body and on her hands? So then, in such a case, if you found on the body, you could be told on that. But what happens if she found on her hands and on her body? So could you be told? Wait a second, which one is it? Is it on the maka, or is it from the yad? Which one is it? So he says, l'churi, then you would have to be machmir. But if you continue on the pischei tshuva halfway through, avolim noga bevadai b'maka, o b'shar dvarim, v'yodas shenislach l'chiyodeh mosan dvarim. But if she touched the maka, so then in such a case, you could be told that both she finds on her leg on the maka, as well as that which she finds on her hand. So bottom line is, if there is reasonable doubt, that would be, I think, a nice term to use. Once there's a reasonable doubt, then in such a case, that's enough to be tola. Obviously, these halachos are very intricate and require a lot of attention and she'ilas rav as they come up. Now, the shach and chaf gimel we're going to stop at, but before we do the shach and chaf gimel, what we're going to do is see the Shulchan Aruch in Mem Aleph. Shulchan Aruch in Mem Aleph. Talks about the following, a totally different halacha, but then at the end, the Ramah is going to create a chumrah, and the Shach is going to comment on that chumrah, and it's going to come back to our Shach in Chav Gimel. So we're going to have a bunch of Shachs that are going to be connected. But topic number two, within Tliya, the first topic we spoke about is Dam al-Bisara, when it could be Tola. And now we have the next issue of Tliya coming back to things on a garment. So the Mechaber says as follows, Lavsha chaluk ha-badukla u-pashtasa. So we're going to discuss the rest of the Sima, for most of the rest of the Sima, we're going to discuss garments when you could assume that the garment already had a previous stain, and therefore you could be Mekel. In other words, the reason why it's red is because she wore it previously during her Yemei Nida, and that's why there's a stain, versus something that's baduk. Once something is baduk, it's been checked, it was previously checked, so then in such a case, then you can't be tola. So actually, so just to be clear, something that's baduk is bad news for tliya. That which is not baduk is a maila in terms of tliya. Says the Mechaber, lav shechaluk ha-baduk lo pashtaso. So then that should be a problem. But v'ishilasa li'yisraelis nida olegoya, she lent it to a Jewish woman who's a nida or a Gentile woman. The poskim spell out, the shach says this somewhere. Yes, in Memches, the shach spells out that a woman who's a goya doesn't notice ksamin. The reason she doesn't notice ksamim is because she doesn't have hilchos ksamim, so she doesn't pay attention to ksamim. Or a woman who is a nida yisraelis, she also doesn't pay attention to ksamim. So she gias mano liros v'rosa pamachas afu bishen roa bime hashalas hachaluka v'achakach nimtze bo kesem tola behen v'tohora. So a woman could be tola on that someone else who was a nida wore it, and that's what created the tumah. V'hu adinim in bad kasel v'shilasa lehen. V'acha kach levashrohi umatzav al kesem shetola ben. So you could be tola in all those instances. V'afilu hi besviras shivanikim. You could be makel even within the shivanikim. So here, the Ramah has an interesting comment. The final part of this Ramah, we're only going to be able to do in a couple of months. The Ramah says, "Va'ayin lekamon kuf tzadivav de b'shloshi yom arishonim shel shivanikim ein mekilim b'ksamim." So this is an interesting exception to the rule. The exception to the rule might be. We'll see the exceptions, and then we'll see if we could limit the exceptions a little bit. But in the shivanikim, the first 3 days you can't be mekil b'ksamim. So we saw that the Ramah in kuf tzadivav, we saw already last time, says that you can't be tola b'maka in the first 3 days of the Shiva Nikim. So here, what the Ramah is saying is follows. Just like you can't be tola b'maka, we saw in Kuf Tzadivav, in the Yud somewhere, so too, over here, you won't be able to be tola, because the same type of idea, it's based on a Tzliya. That is the Psak over here of the Ramah. Now let's come back to the Shach. So the Shach by us in Chav Gimel says this Tliya B'maka, he repeats what the Ramah says in both Kuf Tzadivav. And by the way, the Shach comments on it Sif Katan Yugimel in Kuf Tzadivav. So it's the Ramah that corresponds to Kuf Tzadivav Yugimel. And the Shach says over here as well, it comes to Maka, V'toch Shosha Yomim Shosvir Shivinikim, Lo Talina Nafil B'maka. So this could be a question on a test. Is there, are you what are examples of where you would not be tola b'maka or b'she'elas beged? That would be within the first 3 days of the Shiva Nikim. Now that sounds like quite a big chumrah, quite a very, very important fact, but the fact is actually limited, as I might have pointed out in the past, that if you look at the Shach and Kuf Tzadik Vav Yud Gimel, that's only by maka shelo yodim shemotziyam imen adam. But if we know that the maka is motzi dam, so then in such a case you could be mekel. So we do have this exception though of she'elas beged that you won't be able to be tola. So the shach now by us in Nun Aleph comments as follows. He says, he makes this exact point. He says, Elani. He points out the following kasha. He says, there's a third halacha, Sif Mem Dalid. Let's take a look at Sif Mem Dalid. Sif Mem Dalid says, Lav shachaluk bimeini dasa v'lo bat kaso, v'lav shaso bimei tarasa v'nimtza bo kesem, tola shememim dasa hu. In many ways, Mem Dalid is a redaction of what we already learned in Mem Aleph. Then Sif Mem Dalid, we have again, that if a woman wears bimei tarasa, this is the most chomerdik of time, even during her shiva nikiyim, the halacha is that if it was worn bimei nidusa, so then in such a case you could be mekel. So the shach in sifkata nun aleph says, wait a second, hayu lo lahagia, halfway through sifkata nun aleph in the shach, hayu lo lahagia gam kein hachi b'sif mem dalet. Why didn't the Ramah say that it's not acceptable in the first 3 days? It's Masha Yotola in all instances. Everybody have it. Sifkata Nun Aleph in the Shach. Elanira Zakte Eli Geshach to Rav Ozalitamei. The cause of the Dafka B'Dov Racheri in Tol Shoshim Sham. Avol B'Maka Shebegufa Shemotzi Adam Tolebo Kafta V'Ferach. Over here, he claims that the Ramah is going to be Lishitaso that holds that if it's a Makkah Shemotzi Adam, so then in such a case that you could be Mekel. Yeah.
I understand. Why is that different than giving it to a different Israelis?
What's that? In other words, you're asking, so why did the Ramah in Mem Aleph, why is the Ramah, what type of teretz is this? Because then the Ramah Mem Aleph is not talking about a Makkah Shemotzi Adam, right? What's the difference between, in Mem Aleph, he's equating it to a Makkah Shemotzi She'enemotzi Adam. And then the Shach is saying, but Bimei Nidasa, that's like Makkah Shemotzi Adam. Right. So it could be that mei nidusa is makah shemotzi adam. But then the question is, why is Israelis nida not the same thing? Yeah, that's a nice kasha. The Torah Sashlamim also has a problem. I like your kasha. The Torah Sashlamim also has a problem. Sifkata memhei. You take a look in Tola Shemimei Nidasi. He says v'kasa hashach b'sifkata nunal to b'shloshim rishom shal sviris nakim ain't telling af mei nidasa. V'chenir li ikar af shepasak harav lekaman the maka shebegufa tola af b'shloshim rishonim shani hasam da dain hamaka begufa. So the Torah Hashlam gives a different test. The Torah Hashlam says there's a reason why you could be more makel over in Sif Mem Dalet, and he's going to ask your kasha in a second, Natan. But Sif Mem Dalet, he says there's a difference between the two, a geshmaka difference. When it's a makah sheyadu Hashem motzi adam, so right now it's being motzi dam. So since it's being motzi dam, then you could be Tola. But over here, already passed. It's not that the Reyesa, I don't know if the proper Lamdisha terminology would be Reyesa Lefanenu, maybe that's good Lamdisha terminology. The Reyesa is Lefanenu, and since the Reyesa Lefanenu, so then in such a case, then you would have to be Machmir. Correct. We're right. So if the reisa, oh no, the tliya, I shouldn't use the word reisa. The tliya is bifaneinu, where it's a makash begufa. So then, in such a case, you'd be told beyond marishonim. But if we're talking about like Sam is saying, if it's a tliya ba'avar, so then in such a case, that's harder. Ay, Natan's question. But what about sif mem aleph? V'hadlo egiya rav kan kelil sif mem aleph mishum dekan lo kasa mechaber klum mishiv nekiim. All right, so it's a little bit vague how the Tarsa Shlom is trying to be Miyashi Mem Aleph. I think it's a little bit difficult. But at the end of the day, Nahara Upashte, we see that there is a Shita, the Shita of the Shach is that if it's a Maka Shemotzi Adam, so then in such a case, then you'd be able to be makel according to the Shach. But then the question is, why in Sif Mem Dalid don't we have that option? So that becomes a tzarachiyun. Okay. Before we go on. No, perfect. Let's go on straight into this next point. What I was about to say is directly connected to the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Mem Vav, next thing we'll discuss is Sif Mem Vav. Choluk shelov shaso b'mein nidasa v'niskab beis v'chazra v'lov shaso b'zman shi'itor b'lo b'dika. So what about laundered garments? So we learned that if she wore it b'mein nidusa, she could be tola. What if it was laundered? So then, Let's start with, let's work backwards. Let's do bottom line in Shulchan Aruch. The bottom line in Shulchan Aruch is a beautiful, beautiful pshara that I think is still very much nogea today. V'me'efshar lamod ala birur, kegon shemakeres b'mariyoso im makdir, dayin shenichnas etoch abeged, b'yodu ashekodim kibus haya. So the Shulchan Aruch says, you have to look at the type of stain. Is it deeply embedded into the garment or is it on the surface? If it's on the surface, so then that's a sign that it's from lately. If it's a sign that it's from lately, so then in such a case, then you can't be tola. However, if it's deeply embedded into the garment, in such a case, you could be meikel. Vimaglid means superficial. Dahainu she'en nichnas l'toch habega, b'yidu ha'shachar kibas haya, then vim ein b'kiach nikuda. Then the Shulchan Aruch points out that, as the Shach explains in Sifkat and Samach Dalid, if you're not a baki, so you can't say Safek Lahakel, because that's called a Safek in Chisaron Yediya. We spent a lot of time discussing this in Yaradeya, that the only time you could be Makel on a Safek is if it's an objective Safek. But it's that if you don't have it, you could get more information. You just didn't learn the halachos of Nida or the halachos of garments. In other words, which garments are one where the stain is new and which one is old, so then in such a case you can't be tola lahakel. But if you can assess, or to put in other terms, it's obvious, so then in such a case, the Shulchan Aruch says, you have to see. If it's deep, then in such a case you'll be tola. If it's not deep, then in such a case you can't be tola. That's the most operative principle of halacha lemaisa. The Shulchan Aruch also says, it also depends on who did the laundering. If it's a Yisraelis, so women are careful, Jewish women are careful to share with another woman. Wait a second, you might have a shiloh over here. So then in such a case, then if it was laundered, pi Yisraelis, so then we have a chazaka bat kaso b'shas kibus ve'ena tola bat, and that would be a chumrah. Because if there was a stain, she would have noticed it. But if it's a Gentile, then that would not apply. There is a big discussion in the Shach whether that applies today, whether it doesn't apply today. The Shach actually says, even if it doesn't apply today, nira lahachmir. So the best kula, in my opinion, is the conclusion of the Shulchan Aruch. And the conclusion of the Shulchan Aruch is to be able to see whether the stain is embedded or not. Yes?
What are you saying about the Jewish person?
Right. So I'll spell it out. I might not have given it a practical example. If a Jewish woman washed a beged beforehand, and she didn't say anything to her Jewish friend, then that's a sign there was no kesem beforehand. Because if there was a kesem, she would have said, my dear lady, I noticed that you have a shiloh that you need to ask the Rav, or you're going to be eating taharis. So in such a case, I want to warn you about this. The fact that no one said that, the woman didn't say that to her, shows that she got the stain now. And therefore, we'd have to be machmer on some. If it's a goya, the goya doesn't, it's normal for women to bleed. She doesn't say anything to her because she figures it's normal. If it's a Jewish woman, so then in such a case, she would say something. The Shach says maybe Jewish women today don't even check. And then he says, nira lahachmir. So at the end of the day, I think the conclusion of the Shulchan Aruch is very, very helpful. Ad kedei kach, that I thought that the halach lemaisa is not a, Lanias Daiti is not as simple as the way it's described in the Badei HaShulchan, Bikatonti. The Badei HaShulchan says as follows. He says, this halacha, this heter, doesn't apply today. This heter that maybe it was that, or excuse me, this yisod, let's not use the word heter, this yisod that the stain was, would have been washed out, or is it not washed out? That's the question. That doesn't apply today. If you take a look in the Badei HaShulchan, Tav Chaf Hei, on page Reish Tes, in your booklet, he says, by the Tav Reish Lamed, parallel to Tav Reish Lamed, about 12 lines from the bottom, Amnon Kaso Achram Shekayom Anuroim Shekibus Ma'avir Kol Aksam Shebebeget. We see the Metzius is that all Ksamim are removed from Begadim. Our washing is a lot more capable of the washing of yesteryear. And therefore, says the this entire heter falls away because it doesn't matter who did the laundering, a Jew or a Gentile, you have to assume that all the ksamim are gone. Lanias daiti, I'm not sure that everybody has to be automatically machmir across the board. In other words, there are some stains that don't come out. Blood stains are one of those things that are notorious for not coming out. So what's my... I don't know if you automatically have to be machmir like the Badei HaShulchan. I think what you have to do is, first of all, try to be mevayer the metzius. Is this type of detergent one that would take out blood stains? And if it's not, so then in such a case, in Shulchan Aruch, you see, if it's a deep... rooted stain, if it's a faint, if the stain is a little bit fainter than blood normally is, and in such a case, there was room to believe that it was, as she wore it, b'mei nidusa, it would seem to me that there is room to be makel. It's, by the way, this case could come up, because this could come up during a woman's shiva nikiyum, and she realizes that she had one time wore white underwear, because she didn't have color underwear, b'mei nidusa. And so it could be such a thing can have stains. So Lanias Daiti, one does not have to be automatically machmir for the Badei HaShulchan as he is right off the bat. There's one more set of halachos in this regard, and that is similar type of halachos, and that is in Sif Lamites that we have in regards to the din of baduk, not by undergarments, but by clothing in general. The Mechaber says, Eina isha tmei mishum kesef shematza b'chaluka, elim kein haye baduk la kodem shalav shaso. That a woman will only become tamei if it's a garment that she checked beforehand. Avlum eina baduk kodem shalav shaso, v'shaso b'lo b'diku, matza b'lo kesem Torah. Wow! Look at this kula, Rabbosai. The only time you could automatically be tola. You could be told that as long as the woman didn't check it beforehand. If you take a look at Lamed Ches, Ezeu Eida Baduk Koshet Bad Kassel Ben Hi Ben Chaverta, that Eid Baduk means something that was checked both by her, or either by her or her friend. V'lovir B'Shuk Shel Tabachim. I mentioned to you another example of Shuk Shel Tabachim, and that is a nail salon. Or for that matter, a woman who's doing her nails. Lania's daiti, that might already become a shuk shel tabachim. I've seen instances where a bedika cloth got had nail polish, had red nail polish on it. So, eira baduk should be looked at in advance. Eitza tova kamash malan, that even though most edim that are used in Hebrew today, in others what we call bedika cloths in English, are checked beforehand, and Eitzah Tova is that to always check, tell the woman to check the bedika cloth beforehand. So the antithesis of this is every other thing that's not a bedika cloth, which is when it's manufactured, they supposedly check it. And when it comes to other garments, in general, they're not checked. So Rabbosai, this is a massive kula, this psak in Shulchan Aruch. However, the Badei Shulcha again, Al-Pishitaso is mesupik about this. He just leaves off with a suffix. The Badei Shulchan says, maybe that was garments in those days. In those days, their garments were garments that weren't checked. And then it could very well be that there's dam over here. So if you take a look in the Badei Shulchan, Shin Nun Ches, halfway through Shin Nun Ches, which is on page Resh in the Badei Shulchan, Kasva Chavez Das Ve'od Poskim, halfway through Shinun Ches, Shalokech Bege Chodosh Min Ashuk, Ein Bo Tumas Ksamim Lo Bat Kasa. Wow! That there's no such thing as Tumas Ksamim if you weren't Bodek. And then the Badei HaShulchan says, Avonish Di Yisraiti Yesh Estapek Im Yilor Shlino Ken Achshav, Kiman She Bege Chodosh Nikach Achshav Becheske Shunaki Mikom Kesem V'lichluch. He says, maybe that halacha would not apply. I saw an even bigger mako. Reb Nissim Karel Zatzal, quoted by my friend the Pischei Chuas on page Ayin Reish Vez, he says, V'yesho Sifu, and V'yesho Sifu, you'd see Chut Hashani. By the way, I couldn't find it in the Chut Shani, but I believe my friend. V'yesho Sifu, the Gam Bizmanenu, Sheesh Bechanuyas Begodim Nikim Legamri, V'afatuv Menayla, Mikol Mokom, Ein Cheskas Boduk Ala Beget. He says that even brand new clothing today doesn't have a din of a cheskas baduk, and then he sounds like he'd be able to be tola biksam. Lania's daiti, it's strange. So my shita is that bismana zeh, there are things that change, lakula and lechumra. Lakula, what's going to change? Lakula, what's going to change is that when it comes to the laundering, right? So then in such a case, we don't have to assume that, or maybe I shouldn't just say it as changing l'kula chumra. Maybe I should say it this way. In regards to laundering garments, I don't assume that just because there's detergent, automatically all stains are going to be removed, that I think you should still look at the stain. Me'idach gisa, what's brought down, particularly the Badei HaShulchan Zatzal has the suffix, and Rav Nissim Karel says the davar pashut, that's not considered baduk, until you've actually checked it. It would seem to me that anything that comes in a package today that was manufactured with any type of standard, the halacha will be different. Now remember, Reb Nissim Karelitz grew up in the 40s and 50s, even earlier, in Bnei Brak. It could very well be that in those days, garments, first of all, there are many garments that were sold as secondhand garments. That was like standard, that garments were sold as secondhand garments. And today that it's a totally different mitzvah. Someone told me that in a few years, people are going to be printing clothing, that they won't, basically clothing stores. This person thought you shouldn't invest in clothing. Clothing stores altogether, they'll be printing clothing. So the bottom line is that today people, their clothing are manufactured, they're not secondhand, they're not, people throw clothing out so quickly, v'chule, and there's a tremendous amount of manufacturing that's going on, and the manufacturing is scientific to a certain extent, and therefore it would seem to me that, for example, the L'may Nafkamina, does a woman have to check her white underwear before Shiva Nikim to make sure that it's baduk? And if she didn't, you could be tola b'kesem. That, to me, I think where Mr. Kravitz probably is not going to go so far. The question is, where is he going to draw the line? To me, it's a davar pashut that unless there's reason to believe that there was some type of there's a trade word for it, when the clothing isn't perfect, you know, they'll sell it sometimes cheaper. Anyhow, if there's an imperfection in the clothing, so then in such a case, then without that, it would seem to me it's a cheskas baduk. Yes, Sam? All right, clarify?
Yeah.
Okay, mitzuyah. All right, b'siyata d'shmaya, tom v'nishlam, hilchos tzliya, achi adenu magas. And now we begin the halachos of isha, shemotza dam bahashtana. Okay. Let us begin with the Gemara on Nuntes, on the Beis, in Maseches Nida, the Mishnah. What we're going to do, this is one of those cases, like, this is really an extension of Dine Ksamim, and we're actually going to see some of the Rishonim will use the term Ksamim over here, and this is one of those sugyas that there's a tremendous amount on it. What we're going to do is see it through the eyes of the Shulchan Aruch and with a basic introduction. Mishnah has a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi about a woman who finds dam in her urine. What is the issue that's at play? So we learned about ksamim, and ksamim is a woman who finds dam and she didn't have hargasha. Here the stakes are a little bit larger, because here we've learned in the past, when in our introduction, we discussed that a bedika can mask a hargasha, and also sensation of urine could also mask a hargasha. So now, once we learned Perek Shmini, the halachos of ksamim, so now we say, is this, how do we look at this? Because this might not be a classic case of ksamim. So says the Mishnah, Ha'isha shayisa tzarcha, she was urinating, v'rasa dam, and she sees blood. Rabbi Meir is complicated. He says, "Im oimedes, if she's standing, tmeya. Vim yosheves tahora, but if she's sitting, she's tar." That is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi omer ben kach u ben kach tahora. Yossi says, in either way, she is tahor. Rav Miller Shlita, in mentioning Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi actually pointed out, and there is a reference to this in the Beis Yosef, a quick reference to this, that on a simple level, you could say that Rabbi Meir is Lishitaso, who's Choshish Lemiuta. The odds that inside of her urine is Damnida is not that high, but Rabbi Meir says that when she's standing, there's a possibility. We'll get into why, the difference between standing and sitting shortly. But Rabbi Yossi says you could always assume that she is Tohar. What's the discussion over here? So the discussion over here, according to Rabbi Yossi, is as follows. Rabbi Yossi says, what's your chshash? Rabbi Meir's chshash we're going to see is that the dam is going to be brought out by the urine, that the urine is going to back up into the uterus and it's going to bring out dam. So Tosas and Dibar Maskel Dilma, the last two lines of Tosas, says that Rabbi Yossi holds that the Achshash isn't likey. E efshel adam lovel kedarko, shemachmas hadzinuk, nistam hamayin shel adam. Tosas says that it could be the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir, is the following. Maybe not just the issue that Rav Miller pointed out, but Chai Shlimiuta, by the way, Rav Miller also made this point, and that is the machlokas is whether we have, whether the, how the biology works. That Rabbi Yossi holds that the biology is, that it's not likely that the dam is going to back up and pull out the dam. The hashtana is going to go back up and pull out the dam. While Rabbi Meir does assume that that could happen, and we'll see, he says that in Omedes Tmeya. The other explanation Tosis gives is Rabbi Yossi says, we're only choshesh for normal re'ios. This is a too far flung devachshash. Maybe this is closer to Rabbi Meir's choshesh lemiuta, and Rabbi Yossi holds that she's going to be tahar. Now, in terms of psak halacha, if you're svaradi, actually this siman goes very, very, very quickly, and that is, you could learn the machlokes Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yossi is a question metzius in biology, whether such a thing is at all likely, or is it a question of choshesh lemiuta? In psak and Shulchan Aruch, based on the Rambam, is like Rabbi Yossi. Ha'isha sheshtina mayim, v'yotza dam, in the beginning of Kufza Adi Aleph, im mei ragleha, bein sheshtina v'yomedes, bein sheshtina v'yoshevs, whether she's standing or sitting, harei zu tahora. V'afilu irgisha gufa v'nizdazeya. And that this is why this follows from Kufza Adi. Even if she has some type of argosh, ena chasheshes, shagashes mei raglaim uzu shem raglaim le'acheder. The Meir Aglaim is not from the Cheder. That will fit very nicely with what we saw in the second Pshat of Tosos, that this, the Metzius like this doesn't happen. V'dam zedum makuhu b'chal chulis o b'kulya. Mirtz Hashem, next time we'll discuss these different makos that the Ramah is going to bring up as well. And that we don't have the blood, the urine in the blood. Unfortunately, such things do appear. Those could be kidney issues. There could be other issues, a vaginal infection, a urinary tract infection, all of those things, chas v'chalila, could bring out blood as well. So Rabbi Yossi is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Things are about to get quite nuanced, though. And that is due to the Ramah. The Ramah is going to quote two groups of Rishonim who are going to disagree with this psak. Not surprising, we have a rush. The Rush in Kuf Tzadi Aleph, in the Beis Yosef Dibra Maskel Avala Tosos. The Rush in Dibra Maskel Avala Tosos tells us that he doesn't think that in every case Rabbi Yossi is Makel. And that is, if you take a look at the Gemara doesn't talk about every single instance. And therefore, says the Rush, I'm in Dibra Maskel in the Beis Yosef Avalatosos, about two lines into the Rush, where he says as follows. He says, trying to find the best line to isolate in the Rush. Yeah. Ulahach pirusha. Ulahach pirusha. Halfway through the Rush. Ulahach pirusha lo ashkechon dimitar Rav Yossi beomedes vishoseses. Kivan de Rabbi Meir lo airi elo bimizanekes. Verab Yossi tier mashatime Rabbi Meir. So, the Mishnah is talking about a woman who is sitting and there's a natural flow. Here, Rabbi Yossi has two reasons to disagree with Rabbi Meir. And here we're going to talk about the Metzius. When a woman is standing, so then in such a case, then she is more likely to have dam to have the urine being held back. And the reason for that is because a woman who is omedes, that is not the normal way a woman urinates. The normal way a woman urinates is sitting. So if she was omedes, that means she had already been holding in her urine. If she was holding in her urine, so then in such case, we have to be afraid of, what? Let's make up a term over here, backup. We have to be concerned that the urine is going to back up and bring out dam. Vishosesses, as well as if the urine came out haltingly, as opposed to mizanekes. Mizanekes is with a flow, like in modern Hebrew, right? Zinuk, Arya, is that in modern Hebrew they use that for a flow as well?
Not exactly.
Okay. That's what it means. It means a flow. So in Talmudic talk, so in Be'omedes Vishosesses, so then the halacha is that there, even Reb Yossi is going to be machmir. Delo ayri barimer, lo ashkan imitar bar Reb Yossi. So this is an entirely different position than we saw in the Rambam. The Rambam, we learned, he holds that Reb Yossi says such a metzius doesn't exist, or it's only a question of chayish lemiyuta. Over here, we now say, no, they're beginning to argue about the metzius. Says the Ramah, let's see that psak of the Rush in the Ramah. V'yesh omrim de'ein lahatir ela b'yosheves v'hishtina, only if she's sitting. Avo b'medes, but if she's standing. So here we learned, if it's almedes and it's shoseses, the Rush is machmir. But now the Taz is going to explain that what the Ramah is going to say is as follows. The Ramah is going to say that if a woman is standing, we automatically have to be choshesh that she's doing it haltingly. And how do we decide whether she's doing it haltingly or not? That depends on where the urine is going to fall. If the urine is in a flow, then it's not going to end up at the beginning of the toilet. It's going to end up in the middle of the toilet. But if it's halting, then it's going to be towards the beginning of the toilet. Ashrecha Yisrael, no? That for the goyim, they look at this, and we could turn this into a chafetz of Torah. It's amazing. Ashrecha Yisrael, that we're a nichnas yayin yotzeso. The secret of Klal Yisrael is that every single part of the human existence, we turn into something holy, and is a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is amazing. Avol, so take a look now in the Ramah. Avol be'omedes imi kaleches atoch haseifo v'nimse sham dam Torah. Avom shosis in asvas hasef when it's a shamdam tmeya dehova mokum tsar. This is describing the woman's urinary tract. Chozrin lemekar, goes back to the mekar umevi adam. So that is the shita of the mechaber, that who says Rabbi Yossi across the board is mekel. And then we have an analysis of the Gemara that the Rush has. The Gemara we didn't do inside. I gave you the Mar Mokum in the Beis Yosef. The Gemara is right in the beginning of Nun Tesam Beis. And he says that you would have to be machmir on a case of omedes and nimsa b'svasa seifel. If it's nimsa b'svasa seifel, so then in such a case, then we would say that we have to be choshesh that it came back from the mekar. The Taz says in Sif Katan Aleph, what I just said, v'rabi makshin, lama kosev etzel meklachas atocha seifel, v'etzel shosas kosev al svasa seifel. Why does the Ramah say specifically when she's standing that it was a stream, then Satocha said when Shasasas it's the edge of Seifo? And he says the two go together. Generally when she's Omedes, it's generally Shosesas, and it's generally the Svasa Seifo. But if you're going to have a case where it's Betocha Seifo, so then in such a case you could be Mekel because you could assume that was a Kalachas. Okay. By the way I just learned is according to the Taz, the Shach learns entirely differently. But Reb Miller Shlita, when he taught this, went very much with the Taz, and the Taz is a lot easier than what we saw up until now. Okay. These are the first two deos. For Ashkenazim, not enough. For Ashkenazim, you have a third dea, which is actually, there's a lot of ink has been spilled exactly how to be magdir this day, but this Yat Dishmai will take the Derech HaMelech. And that is the following introduction. Rabbeinu Chananel is quoted in the Beis Yosef in the brackets. There is a Hagos Maimini. It's actually the next Dibur HaMaskel in the Beis Yosef. Aval Hagos Maimini. And then you have Vaharan Kosov B'tshuva. And that is, Rabbeinu Hananel is of the following opinion. The Rabbeinu Hananel appears in Tosis on Yudalit Amabez, and there are two girsos of Rabbeinu Hananel. And both girsos are consistent, but you need to know both of them, because once you have both of them, then it'll be clear. Rabbeinu Hananel in Tosis on Yudalit Amabez says that all of Rabbi Yossi's heter, this is a classic Talmudic move, all of Rabbi Yossi's heter was only bidiyeved, not lechatchila. And the Rishonim spell out that what that means is he was only talking about bidiyeved if they come to you and ask you if the taharos is tamei. A woman says she found blood in her urine, and now he wants to know whether they want to know whether the taharos is tamei. So Reb Meir is machmir, and Reb Yossi is mekel. So basically, what does Rabbeinu Hananel do? Rabbeinu Hananel might learn the Gemara like the Rambam, but he's going to say that's only bidiyeved on taharos. But whether a woman should now have tashmish with her husband, whether she should be osik in taharos now, that we're going to be machmir. In another nusach, the nusach is that it has a din of tumah like ksamim, that we're machmir for kesem. What that means is this idea that we have to be machmir medine kesem. We don't know for sure that the woman is a nida, but mikanu la'aba, we're going to be machmir. Actually, Maisat Sipurei Tzadikim, a cute thing. Rav Miller was saying this over in his shir. I could attest that yesterday I was having a hard time with all these shitas, so I decided I'm going to listen over again. I'd listened to Rav Miller's shiurim, but I decided that I'll listen over again. So I listened over again to the shiur, and this detail I don't remember. Rav Miller then said, Rav Savolovsky in his new sefer uses the term ksamim, and he said, I'm not sure. Next time he comes to Eretz Yisrael, I have to ask him where the term ksamim was. So then I saw that in our Beis Yosef, that line of describing that Tosis as ksamim, he says Tosis doesn't use those words. So that line that describes it as ksamim doesn't appear in the old Beis Yosef. If you take a look in your Beis Yosef, it's in brackets. Mm-hmm. So Rav Miller uses the old Beis Yosef. So that's the answer. Anyhow, so that's why I was referring to Tunis Chos. But anyhow, at the end of the day, that's the din of ksamim. Okay, so this is the third shita. What emerges as the third shita is as follows. We have a Yesh Omrim in the Ramah like this. V'yesh Omrim, continuing on in the Ramah. Da'filu b'yosheves ein lahatir elo b'mekalachas v'nimtza adam tocha seifel aval svasa seifel t'meya u'bomedes b'chol inyan t'meya. Says the Taz, we're mamish learning Kuf Tzadi Aleph according to the Taz as opposed to the Shach. Says the Taz in Sifkotan Beis. The Taz says that basically, I'm putting together the different nuschos, that dine ksamim, we would have to be machmir, unless we have a real strong plia. What's the strong plia? What we would call shlashta letivusa. In other words, v'amevin yavin, according to the first daya in the Ramah, we need a tarta letivusa. V'amevin yavin, I didn't spell that out. If that term is foreign to you, it's okay. But here, we need three things with Tevusa. What does the Taz mean in Sifkat and Beis? The Taz says, Pirish v'yosheves, u'be'omedes afil tocha seifel t'meya. If she's standing, even if it went inside the seifel. So you have two things with Tevusa, it's not enough. Deboinon says the Taz, t'los l'tivusa yosheves u'mekaleches v'tocha seifel. You're going to need all of these three things. So bottom line,
Three things are,
you'll spell it absolutely. You need that, number one, she's sitting, so it's not, she was never halting it, so that it wasn't going back. That's number one. Number two, it needs to be that she tells us that was mikaleches, so that again is not halting, so the urine's not going back and pulling out blood from the uterus. Vitocha seifel, and the facts on the ground show us that it wasn't that phenomenon. Okay? All right, what happens halacha l'maisa? So halacha l'maisa, it really depends if the woman's last name is Abutbol or the woman's last name is Goldstein. Oh, by the way, you can never rely on that. But depends on whether she follows the Mechaber or she follows the Ramah. The Ramah seems to goes with this last daya. In fact, because the Ramah says, V'hachinog, I saw there was some achronim to ask, well, why did the Rama quote the first day if he doesn't go with it? Okay, the Rama does that often. So the Rama says we go with this. The minig is to go with the last day. So halacha lemaisa, this would be what one needs to do. So for Svaradim, there's nothing to talk about. A woman says that she found dam bahashtana. In such a case, she'd be able to be makel. Now, in this case, Rabosai, this is even in an instance where we have a suffik hargasha, right? Even if you have a suffik hargasha, or a woman says, not more, stronger than that, she says, I had hargasha, I'm not sure what it was. In such a case, you'd be able to be makel. What about for Ashkenazim? So if you take a look, Rav Miller found someone who he had shared the phenomena that he was also Kilu a Talmud Chaver of Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal. That is a very nice sefer, Share Ora. Share Ora, I don't know if I don't know that much about Gush. I know a few, I'm Zochet to have met a few of the Rabbeim there, but the Rosh Kol in Gush for many years was Rav Levi. So he said the Halach L'maisa Chaburus, he has a very nice Haskama there, a joint Haskama from Rav Amital and Rav Lichtenstein, and then he has from all the chief rabbis. In the sefer Share Ora, so he's machmir for Ashkenazim. If you take a look, it's in your booklet on page 90. He says, he points out the Sidrei Tara. He says, Achronim Rabim Kasu Shatnai Asheni. He says, the third Tanai, which was that it needs to be Bikiluach, who Kasha Labiru. That's hard to be Mavar. Lachain Alacha Yesh Lahachmir. So he says, and you have to be machmer. Now, obviously, if she has a medical condition that there's reason to believe that she's bleeding in the urine, that's a different story. But me'ikar d'dina, he paskins that would be difficult to ascertain.
Since it's kashal levar,
that's what it sounds. That's what it sounds. Who kashal biru lechein lahalacha yesh lahachmer l'tameis isha bechol mikre shematz adam me'igra glaim shlo. That's how they paskin in the gush. In the grus kolel, Rav Miller said he thought that most poskim aren't machmir. He didn't spell out, but l'chura, Rav Miller would need to be mevarer these three facts. So number one, that it would be betocha seifel. Number two, it would be that it was yeshiva. And number three is that it was bekiluach and not otherwise. So that's Rav Miller mentioned this psak, and then he mentioned, but he thought that most don't paskin in this manner. Interestingly, Rav Miller left off with a tzarach iyun that I photocopied for you, Rav Sabalovsky Shlita. He quoted this in that year. He quoted Rav Sabalovsky Sefer twice. So Rav Sabalovsky Shlita has a different heter. On page 55, he has the following. If you take a look in the laws and concepts of Nida, he writes, accordingly, Ashkenazim are stringent, while Sfaradim are lenient. Some poskim accept the view that the blood of the kesem are nonetheless lenient in practice. They argue that kesem is deemed tar, as such some are usually found in the water of the toilet bowl, and this water may not be susceptible to impurity. So if Sabalovsky says that maybe there's another tzad to be makel because the water, it's found in the water. So this psak is a little bit strange, and in the time of the Ramah, it wasn't found in the water? The answer might be yes. Because in those days they had bedpan or something like that. Now you have water in the toilet. So maybe, but halachically, it's Rav Miller left off with a tzarachiyun gadol, which Rav Ben Arsh possibly answered. And that is, he said that there's no makar in halacha that says that water is not makabel tumah. So Rav Miller said, I have to ask Rav Sabalovsky. There must be some, he said, he probably is, then he just left off as a tzarachiyun gadol. So, what Rav Sabalovsky says, that since it's in water, it may not be susceptible to impurity. He doesn't give him a makar, he just says that. Adkan. Okay, so far so good? Okay. So the only thing that I was able to come up with, which I was very excited about, is mamish on the books, is I found a Shevet Alevi. Not by us in Kuf Tzadi Aleph, but years ago I found a Shevet Alevi in Kuf Tzadi, in Sif, I don't know which sif it is. It's on page Kufayin Dalet. The reason I say that hesitantly is because I believe that there are different paginations in the Shirei Shevet HaLevi. But in the older edition of the Shevet HaLevi, in page Kufayin Dalet, in Dibar Maschel Mei Raglayim, it's Oskim. Oh, no, I have it in Mar Mekomos. Kuf Tzadi Sif Yud Oskimel in the Mar Mekomos. So there the Shevet HaLevi raises something fascinating. He doesn't have anything about water, but he says, is urine mekabel toma? So the Shevet HaLevi found a Mishnah Achrona in Machshirin, in Perek Vav, Mishnah Hey, that the Mishnah Achrona says that urine is only mekabel toma midrabanan. And there are many Achronim that agree with that. So the Shevet HaLevi says, since we're only talking about Ksamim, remember Rabbeinu Hananel's girsa was that this is Ksamim. So since it's only Ksamim, so then, and we're talking about, and we know the halacha is that by Ksamim, if it's a davar sheni mekabel toma, you could be mekel. So he says, like Rav Savolovsky, but different. The Shevet HaLevi says, he found the Mishnah Achrona that holds that urine's not metameh min ha-tayra, and therefore, certainly by Ksamim, you'll be able to be mekel. So that heter I have on the books. That in urine, the halacha is that one could be mekel. But this is not going to work in a case of where you had blood that came out together with the urine. The only time this is going to work is because that's our case. All Kuf Tzadi Aleph was talking about this. So the only case of the Shevet HaLevi is if you had urine in the water, and then in such a case, then the woman had something else that had been expelled. So then in such a case, you're going to be mekel. But if it's behashtana, then it's not a regular kesem. And then in such a case, then we have our dinim that you have to be machmir b'toras hargasha. So the Shevet HaLevi doesn't really get us that far. The only defense that might be, that the only way to be matzdik would be to say that the Mishnah in Mikvaos says that water that's found, what's called megaboim, in the beginning of Mikvaos, if it's found in a puddle, so then in such a case, it's, in certain instances, it's not metame. So you have to look in the beginning of Maseches Mikvaos, maybe that's what Sabalovsky is referring to, that's what Bednar suggested, that there is the halacha megaboim in the beginning of Mikvaos, in such a case, you could be mekelon. Hayotze midvareinu, leaving aside, that's a little bit speculative, because to Paskin about a possible idea is a little vague. Savolovsky in these notes doesn't give a maramakom. So that what we just spoke about for the last 3 or 4 minutes is just lahagdil toru la'adira. And in terms of what's clear, as far as halacha is concerned, what's clear lahalacha is as follows. And that is that you could argue that if a woman says that she knows that it was a flow and she was sitting, and as l'tol chasefel, you'd be able to be Mako. There is a Shevet HaLevi that says that if dam falls later on into urine, so then in such a case you could also be Mako. Let's say it's less than a gris, you could be Mako. But also it could be considered as if it fell on a davar she'ena mekabel tuma comes to urine. Rav Savolovsky has this idea about water not being mekabel tuma. The question is whether that's halacha lemaisa. That might be connected to the beginning of Mikvaos. And for Svaradim, they pass like Rabbi Yossi, all these are chashos just for Rabbi Meir. Possibly Rabbi Meir is chayish l'miute, as the Ran and the Chuvas Haran is quoted in the Beis Yosef, and we don't have to pask in that way at all, but Ashkenazim are machmer for it, and that's a summary of this very complex sugya in terms of lahalacha. Okay, Imirtze Hashem, I guess we could turn this off. Mirza Hashem, in terms of scheduling, unfortunately, next Thursday I will already be...